Paul Muzichuk is from Jacksonville, Florida. He is a Ukrainian-American. He came to this country when he was young with his family. His family fled persecution from the former Soviet Union, and they came here seeking religious freedom. And Paul cut his teeth in the Slavic church here in the United States. But we met each other about 3 years ago, and we've had a wonderful friendship, and Paul's been on about 12 trips with me, and he's just he's a blessing in my life. And if you would just, one thing you can pray for us is that we are believing God that there's going to be the money provided at some point soon for Paul to come and work with me full time with our ministry, the Mordecai Project. So we're praying. I'm praying for that. He's praying for that. And we love to work together. So I'm happy to have Paul come to address to you tonight, finding strength in the battle. Can we give it up for Paul Muzichuk?
One, two. I want to begin with one statement, and then I want to pause after the statement so it could sink into everybody. Experience that most brutal of teachers, but you learn. My God, do you learn? That was C.S. Lewis in one of his personal journals. You know C.S. Lewis, he wrote a lot of wonderful Christian books. And he described something about experience that every single person, not only man, goes through. And tonight, in the message that I have with an honor to serve before you, is finding strength in the battle as men. I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring to light something to you more personally and address more personal issues in this topic. I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. Some have been read, but I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read another version of it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, if you want to just listen. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. The complete Jewish Bible states these three verses this way. So then you, my son, be empowered by the grace that comes from the Messiah Yeshua, and the things you heard from me, which were supported by many witnesses, these things commit to faithful people, such as will be competent to teach others also. Accept your share in suffering disgrace as a good soldier of the Messiah, Yeshua. The message is about finding strength in the midst of our personal battle, personal warfare, spiritual walks, and all the enemy's attack that comes towards us personally. If you can, open the scriptures to Nehemiah chapter 2, and we'll read it a little bit later, but I want to share a few stories here this evening to make it a little bit more raw. In fact, if you look behind me, the word warrior is displayed really nicely. And the first part of warrior is war. But if you take war backwards, it means raw. In war, you are always seeing raw images, raw things. And in spiritual warfare, you will see raw things about yourself that you've never seen before. And it's important as a warrior to understand those things in the midst of battle. Because right now, all these messages leading up to my messages have been about a company, a unit, being together. But there are more times than not, you're going to be alone in the battle. And you're going to need to know how to fight alone. You're going to need to know how to bring heaven to earth. You're going to need to know how to activate the Holy Spirit in the midst of those fires and trials inside of your life. About 1 year ago, as I said, I decided to get ordained. And June 20th of last year, I got ordained as a minister with the IPHC. As I shared earlier, it was a little bit of a rocky experience for me in my church because it was such a pushback. It wasn't as bad as I thought it might have actually been, but actually it did get worse. And I'm going to share with you. So after that, I decided to just get together about six friends of mine and study Lee's book on the 10 lies that men believe. Andre here is one of those men, and the others are back in Jacksonville, Florida. And we decided just to get together every couple of weeks and discuss one chapter, go through it, talk about the fatherhood wound and everything else that Lee wrote in that book. And everything was going wonderful. I thought it was going to be skyrocketing and it's going to be great. But, you know, the enemy doesn't like when we take over territory as warriors. You don't go to Iraq and they open the door and say, please come in and take my things. You don't go to Syria and do that. You don't go to any country because they will fight for their territory. And the enemy will fight for its territory. And we need to bring the territory of the kingdom of God into all areas of our life and in other men's lives. And so towards the end of December, I have an interesting conversation with my senior pastor, and I get called in, and he's saying, you know what, I've been hearing some things that you've gotten a group together, and you're leading some kind of Bible study. And I say, yes, I am, actually. We're getting together with just a few friends, nothing official, just it's almost basically a book club. And he says, well, who gave you the authority to do that? Why did you not come and ask me first? And all of the material has to be pre-approved and pre-screened for you to learn and study all of that. I told him, and in the most respectful way possible, that I'm sorry, Pastor, but I just sincerely disagree with you because I believe there's some personal space apart from church that members can have, and we can study as friends, I think. And so that started a rocky next 6 months, because the next, from January leading up to the end of March, were the most difficult emotional months these last past year that I've ever experienced in my life. It came down to, I had two sequential meetings after that with the pastor, and I tried to personally invite him to come to our group and see what we're doing, see what we're discussing. Any questions you have, please join us. And Andre's here even as a witness. And I gave him a note at one point, and he just kind of said, I gave him the note, he took the note aside, and he said, Paul, I want you to know what you are doing, I am categorically against. I was hurt and deeply offended at that time. As pastor, you know me. I've been at this church for 10 years. I used to be the youth pastor of 150 young people at this church. And he doesn't trust me because I got ordained, not by him, by another ministry. So after that, something got set up that even deeply hurt. I get a call during work. I'm still working. And he says, I'd like you to meet with me personally and privately, because at this point he thought that I might bring my group or some things like that. And I said, sure, I mean, I have no ill intention or ill will or anything like that. I'll come and meet with you at 7 o'clock on a Friday night. And so I come towards in his office, and the next thing I see is I'm here, the office door is right there, and inside that office door is the entire church elder board. About 10 people, every deacon and every associate pastor of my church. And at that point, I knew what was going to happen. He isolated me to ambush me without any defense, and I had to be alone. I don't know about you, but when you're personally and directly attacked about your integrity, about who you are, about your identity, it's an intense emotional battle. At that meeting, it lasted 1 hour. I probably spoke maybe for 10 minutes out of that 1 hour. And it was accusation against accusation. Who gave you the authority? Who gave you the right? why did you not ask us to start anything? And it just went on and on. And then they had the guts to even involve my wife, Maria, who's studying to become a Christian counselor, and asked her why she was accepting confessions from women and other young moms, because she wants to counsel them, and they just keep coming to her. And I told them, let's just leave my wife out of this. If anything, please just focus on me. Because they had nothing to grab hold of, nothing tangible. But it hurt me deeply. And I believe that if anyone was in my shoes, they'd feel the same way that I did. So the next series of things happened where it went back and forth. Some of our guys went to the associate pastor and basically told him the story about my heart and what the whole situation was. And finally, there was a culmination meeting at the beginning of March. And they basically, to keep our group alive and going, the condition was that I am not an official leader of any group at all, including my friend's group. They appointed two other leaders to be liaisons to the church just in case there was heresy teaching of any kind from me, even though I was a 10-year member and a youth pastor. Looking at it now, I'm kind of laughing, but then, believe me, I was not laughing. It was very hurtful. And I'm sharing this not to spite my pastor. I want you to understand this. I'm sharing this because these were raw moments in my personal battle and walk that I want you to understand that you may have a different battle that you go through. But I had a lot of emotions come swelling right back up that I didn't know even existed inside of me until those moments came about. Let's read Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. I'm reading the ESV version. It says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they jeered at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Then I replied to them, the God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build, but you have no portion or right or claim in Jerusalem. Those of you who study the Bible know that Nehemiah decided to build a wall around Jerusalem, rebuild the wall. And he had a lot of opposition come against him. I believe there are three things or three ways that the enemy uses to severely damage us in the midst of our personal battle. The first is this guy named Sanballat. His name literally means hatred in secret. Have you ever had friends that were friends during the good times, and when they say something hits the fan, they just go berserk on you? They hide from you. In fact, Sanballat, he is the main man behind most of the attacks. He was very wealthy, had a lot of influence, power, and control. And we also see that he is our biggest enemy, which is Satan, the hater of God's people. Have you ever had something in your life that people or voices from the outside just began to pummel you? Not just trickle down, but pummel you and your life. And this is the first step that the enemy does when he isolates you as a warrior. You start hearing outside voices of who you are as a lie. He starts damaging your identity in Christ. And he starts telling you who you're truly not. And these are the voices of discouragement, the destruction of vision, the loss of what you thought was about your life. And he begins to pummel you. The solution is that we need to break these lies in the name of Jesus. And that we need to be revealing these dark areas in our life in a relational way that will help us heal. Because when those voices come, we start believing some of those things. And we need to draw those things out in a relational way where our spiritual fathers or mentors or pastors will help us. The voices of discouragement. The second person here is Geshem. His name literally means physical, tangible, material, or bodily. In fact, this guy is the most quiet out of this bunch that was attacking Nehemiah. And this is exactly what happens if the voices don't attack us. The world creeps in slowly to distract us from our focus. Workaholic, business driven, want to be the most successful pastor, the most successful person in whatever field you're in, the most strongest, the most sports and athletic, the strongest built person. You go to the gym extensively just to persuade someone that you're something. And this is an enemy attack. It's the slow, quiet version. Because attacks are not always loud and ferocious. The third is Tobiah. And he's, I think, the most cunning and deceitful of all of them. Tobiah, his name means Jehovah is good. But don't let that fool you. Because Tobiah, in this story, he comes to Nehemiah as a friend. When earlier he gave letters to basically try to dissuade him from building the walls. In the scriptures in chapter 6 of verse 19, it says of Nehemiah, "Also they spoke of his good deeds in my presence and reported my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to make me afraid, to intimidate me, to put me in fear." But then in chapter 13, and you can write this down, verses 4 through 9, it says that the priest who took care of everything inside of the main sanctuary, he became allied with Tobiah. In the very core of where the grain offerings were, where all the incense were, that's where Tobiah's residence was instead of all the things that should have been stored at that time. And Tobiah, he represents our hidden motives that want personal relationships with us. He wants us to do things that is not Christ-like. He wants us to be driven by those motives. He wants us to accompany him. He wants us to ally with him and say, "It's okay, don't worry. Let's wash out some boundaries. It's fine. Let me just be here in a secret hidden place." And look at this. The voices from the outside, we hear them. If we get stuck as a workaholic, we begin to feel it or sense the pain. But the hidden motive, Tobiah, it weighs inside of you. It decays your soul until you clean him out. And Nehemiah, he was a man of courage. He came and evicted him at the end of chapter 13 and said, "You can no longer be here. Get out." And we need Nehemiahs to rise up and evict every selfish tenant in your heart tonight. Because you cannot be a warrior alone and have ulterior motives. You must be aligned with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. I want to share another story, and I'm coming here to a close. During this battle, when that meeting occurred, where I got ambushed, the very next day, I was driving home from work and I got rear-ended on the highway. My car was totaled, and I have, to this day, a hip problem on my left hip. In fact, I've been going to therapy for the last 2.5 months and still continuing to go. They found that on my left hip at the SI joint, where your hip is has a muscle to connect it, right here, the muscle is a bit torn out. And it's going to take a season of healing. I can still feel pain daily. Going through all of these things in a one short season, it's not easy, brothers. But I can tell you that the way to find strength is going to be in prayer. It's going to be connected to the Holy Spirit. Let me share something with you. Jacob, we all know the story of Jacob, right? We know that he was a deceiver and he tried to get his way and push his way through blessings. But let me share something with you. Jacob, A lot of people want to put an identity on Jacob that after he battled the angel, he basically, his hip was fractured or somehow hurt, and that's why he was always limping. But that's actually not the case. After a little bit of study, it turns out that there was a certain muscle that when the angel touched it, and some people do believe it's Jesus Christ, he was wrestling with him. That muscle shrunk. And when that muscle shrunk in his hip socket, it wasn't because of only the pain. It was because he no longer had the ability to push on that hip, and because that socket would pop out. And so he had to have a crutch to always be very ginger. So after that encounter, every step was weight. Every step was ginger. God didn't take Jacob's ability to hold on. God took down Jacob's ability to push. He no longer became a pusher. He became a man of meekness and humility. He wanted to produce meekness, and every step was guarded. Same thing with Moses, 40 years. Why was he considered the most meekest person? Because he had to go through the wilderness alone. But look what happened. Joseph's brothers were raised by Jacob, but Joseph was raised by Israel. We heard stories about even Chris Maxwell, his story about saying how his wife was saying there was a different Chris that she knew through one set of series and another. And in my story, believe me, after going through personal struggle, you become a better husband. You become a better warrior. You become a better minister. You become a better brother. You become a better prayer warrior. In the midst of all that battle, I began to seek the Lord personally on my face. That week, when all that happened, I took 3 days to fast. And I was just crying and crying and crying inside of my closet, literally. After work, I came and just told my wife, "Don't touch me. I need time with God. I need Him to defend me. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm in a defenseless position." I don't know if you've ever been in that position like that, where you just can't defend yourself as a man. And you want to. You feel weak. You feel isolated. You feel discredited. You don't know how to even feel. But you know that you need to fight on, even if you're alone. And at these moments, it's not our mentors who are our crutches. It's not our spiritual fathers who are going to get us through. It's the Holy Spirit. And the example that I want to share and leave with you is a bowling alley. My kids and I went to Orlando recently, and I took them bowling. And you know those gutters that you lift up for the little kids to kind of guide along? Those are like mentors and spiritual fathers. But you're the one that has this bowling ball. And you are the one that needs to focus. It's not the gutter section. It's your hand. It's your eyes. It's your heart. If you want to just roll it randomly and bounce it off of your spiritual fathers all the time and see if you'll knock down one or two pins. Or do you want to focus your life and get strikes every time in your spiritual walk with God? I think that God is raising up new warriors in our generation. And they are in this room. Look at them. Look at each other. Say, "I am a warrior." That's right. And Jacob, he didn't limp because it hurt, but because God made his steps so ginger that he began to guard his walk. And God changed literally his walk. After trial and personal trials, your walk with God will always change. And if it doesn't, you're going to go back to that same furnace until you come out changed and a different man. I want to leave you with an incredible statistic, actually, and I want to show you an example. In all of the Bible, we have many names that pop up, right? And who's ever read the entire Bible from cover to cover many times, you will know there are many different names. But let me ask you, What is the most mentioned name in the entire Bible, bar none? Who can answer that? You can shout it out. Who do you think is the most mentioned name in the entire Bible over and over and over? Over 3,000 times, it was Jacob. Because Jacob's name turned into Israel. Isn't it interesting that a man that wrestled with God was a deceiver and God changed his life is the most mentioned name in the entire Bible? If God can do that with Jacob, God can do that with me, and God can do that with you, brothers. And I want to show you an example of what a true warrior is. If my brother James, who is here, and I ask him to just show us an example right now of what a true warrior is in the midst of personal battle, in the midst of when it's difficult, a difficult journey for all of us. I want you to understand that when life gets difficult, this is the position. This is what a warrior, a true warrior of Christ, will do. Take a look at that picture. What does it say in front of him? What is he doing? I want you all to look. I want this to be impressed. Because when battle arises, don't go to your spiritual fathers immediately. Don't go to social media and Babylon. Go to the Father and be a man who is a warrior. In Jesus' name, amen.